This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Eek. We know that heart disease is the number one killer in Malaysia. We've very often heard that statistic being quoted. And while it is often thought to be a disease that affects men predominantly, not many people know that heart disease affects women in just the same way and with just the same impact. In fact, I know I've spoken to a lot of people who think that breast cancer is the number one killer among women when in fact it's actually heart disease as well. So when we have this misconception about heart disease being more common in men rather than in women, we could be seeing impact in terms of the prevention and treatment of the disease among women. So we'll be speaking today to Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar, consultant cardiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, to find out more about recognizing heart disease in women and making sure that we are able to address it in a timely manner, how the symptoms of a heart attack could be different, for instance. So if you have any questions for Dr. Haizal, please call us at 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon, Dr. Haizal. How are you today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Shelly. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. And it's a topic that I suppose it resonates with me. I'm a woman. I think sometimes something we overlook. We talk mm-hmm. so much about breast cancer for women, how to identify what to do, how to reduce the risk, but nobody ever hears about heart disease being talked about in the same manner for women. Yeah. Why is that? Why is there that imbalance?
Yeah, well, As you rightly pointed out at the start, that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in Malaysia and in many countries all over the world. Just to put a figure alone, about 17 million people die every year from cardiovascular disease, and half of them mm-hmm. are actually women.
Mm. 17 million people?
Yeah, per year, every year. Mm. Yep. Of course, the number gets bigger and mm-hmm. higher. Mm-hmm. And half of them are actually women. And heart disease actually affects both men and women almost equally.
Right. Okay. How did we come to think that it's more common among men?
Right. Women are actually protected from getting heart disease at an earlier age because of certain hormones that women have, namely, for instance, estrogen. Mm-hmm. So by the time a woman reaches menopause, then that protection ceases, mm-hmm. and the risk of getting heart disease actually accelerates and will be equal to men.
Right.
So women get it at a later age, say about 10, 15 years later, mm-hmm. and men get it maybe at the age of 40 plus, 50
okay.
plus.
All right.
So you mentioned breast cancer. We're not trying to downplay breast cancer, mm-hmm. cervical cancer, or any cancers for that matter. Mm-hmm. It's just we're trying to highlight the importance of cardiovascular disease here. Now, breast cancer, as you know, women get it at an earlier age, in the 30s, in the 40s even. And of course, that's at the age when women are actually in the peak of their career. They have a young family. Whereas for, heart disease, women get it at the age of 60, 65, 70. Mm-hmm. So, rightly or wrongly, the society feels that, she gets heart disease at the age of 60 plus. Now, there's a young lady at 35 with two young kids having breast cancer. So, society feels maybe that, that the sympathy or maybe the publicity is better for a younger woman with breast cancer compared to an older lady with heart disease. Mm. It's just the way...
Rightly or wrongly, as you said. You are a cardiologist, so you see the impact of it on women, heart disease on women. Is the impact as significant in women? Even if it is at the age of 60 or 70, what's the burden of heart disease in women?
Yeah, well, heart disease in women sometimes presents slightly differently to men. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know that somebody say for instance a person presents with a heart attack, the classical symptom is a central chest tightener, chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, both men and women get it. Just that for women, sometimes the presentation is actually a bit dissimilar. The pain might be a bit more to the left or a bit more on the left arm, more in the jaw, maybe in the neck,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to for men, which is probably most likely in the classical sort of textbook-like symptom, which is central of the chest or slightly
mm-hmm.
to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So presentation may be a bit confusing. And secondly, the feeling that, hang on, you're a lady, you won't get heart attack. So now, so how shall I say, decision to actually go to the hospital or seek help might be delayed because, hang on, it's probably just angin, you know, just a bit of acid reflux.
Mm.
And so let's not go to the hospital. Let's just wait and see how the pain pans out tomorrow or the day after. So ladies, for that matter, when they present, usually they present a bit late. And any heart attack, if you present late, if you're lucky enough to reach the hospital, the prognosis is usually poorer because it's a late presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we mentioned earlier just now that, you know, ladies get it at the age of maybe 60, 65, compared to a man who probably gets it at 45, 50. So in terms of prognosis, they fare worse than men.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they are older. So
older, plus the late presentation because symptoms are not very typical.
Yeah, misconceptions and all that. And because they are older, therefore, obviously, your age affects your recovery and things
Absolutely.
Like that, right? Okay. So therefore, then, is it right for me to say that the impact of it, the burden, is actually worse in women?
You can say so. You can say so as well.
Because of the social factors as well.
Absolutely.
The misconceptions, the late presentation and all that. And are we only talking about coronary artery disease here, or are we talking about all types of heart diseases?
We're talking about mainly coronary artery disease because these are the kind of disease for the heart that you actually have risk factors that you can actually change or modify. And coronary artery disease is actually the number one killer.
Mm.
Okay, the most important one amongst all of the heart disease that we know.
Yeah. If you could just quickly remind us, because when I said earlier, heart disease is the number one killer.
Yeah.
Exactly. What is coronary artery disease? What causes it?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Coronary artery disease, the name implies, coronary is actually the blood vessels around the heart that shapes like a crown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coronary arteries. And coronary artery, if there is any blockages to the coronary arteries, that will impair the blood flow and cause symptoms like chest pain, what we call angina.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a sudden rupture of the plaque, the cholesterol plaque in the coronary artery, it can actually lead to a sudden clot formation and blockage of the artery.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, there will be a lack of blood supply to a certain part of the heart muscle, which causes damage to that heart muscle, hence a heart attack.
Yeah.
And of course, subsequent complications will be maybe the heart will actually become damaged, or even worse, the heart may stop.
Mm, okay. So we're talking about mainly the blockage of arteries leading to a heart attack. What would be the factors specifically to women that would increase the risk of coronary artery disease among them?
The risk factors for getting heart disease in men and women are generally the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can divide into modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. Very quickly, the non-modifiable ones will be age, family history, i.e. genetic. The modifiable ones would be like hypertension, i.e. high blood pressure.
Of course.
Abnormal cholesterol, smoking, obesity, and diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And lack of exercise, sedentary lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
However, in women, there are added risk factors that men don't have. For instance, endometriosis, a condition that affects the endometrial lining of the uterus. That's one. Secondly, a polycystic ovarian syndrome. Okay, and also pregnancy-related diabetes and hypertension. Those are peculiar to women.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these kind of conditions are predisposed to coronary artery disease, and they are not present in men.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst we know that risk factors are shared, there are also certain specific ones that women have that men don't.
Okay. You know, I was reading about something called the broken heart syndrome. Is this real? How much does this contribute to the risk?
The broken heart syndrome, or Takut Sebus syndrome, that is a that's quite a rare instance where the heart actually fails because of a certain stress, physical stress, I'm not sure whether I should be telling this in the, you know, for public to know. But anyway, the broken heart syndrome is usually because of the heart being weak, and it's thought to be due to a heart attack where there are some ECG changes and certain part of the heart muscle is actually not moving. It looks like typical heart attack. But when you do blood tests and when you do coronary angiogram, you find that the arteries are perfectly normal.
Right.
And usually with good treatment, there will be a good recovery. So, yeah, that's what we call the broken heart syndrome.
Broken heart syndrome.
Takotsubo syndrome.
Well, yeah. It's not common enough to be a concern among the population.
No, yeah, because there's nothing much you can do about it.
And when it comes to obesity, how much of a problem is obesity among women in Malaysia?
Yeah, we are actually one of the...
We know that
in Southeast Asia, we are the highest. Yes,
yeah,
in
yeah.
terms of overweight and obesity.
Yeah. But when we break it down by gender, how do women fare?
About the same as men, actually.
Okay.
About the same as men. And it's actually become more and more prevalent as the years go by.
Mm.
So it is a major issue.
All right. And as you mentioned earlier, heart disease tends to present at the age of about 60 onwards for women.
For women, yes.
Because in earlier age, estrogen has a protective effect.
Yes.
Is that right?
That is correct.
So in the reproductive years, women are producing estrogen that sort of somehow it protects us from heart disease.
Yes, except if you have the other risk factors as well.
Yeah,
for instance, if you have... You know, you're not menopause yet, but you have diabetes, for instance.
Right.
And we know that diabetes actually accelerates coronary artery disease. So age does not really play a matter there.
Okay. So it doesn't mean that we should make the mistake of thinking that just because we haven't reached menopause, we wouldn't be at risk. We have to take into account. And so
Absolutely.
Many more people are now becoming obese, having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes.
It's a lifestyle disease.
Yes. And of course, when we're talking about women and heart disease related to menopause, there's all that controversy over hormone replacement therapy, which I think in the last... maybe about 10 years ago, we started hearing a lot of mixed findings about whether HRT is safe for women or not and linked to heart disease. So I'm going to come back and find out more from Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar, consultant cardiologist, Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. We are talking about heart disease in women. And when we come back, I'd like to ask about hormone replacement therapy, is it safe or not for women looking at menopause? If you have any questions, call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Yik, and in the studio with me today is Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar, consultant cardiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. We're talking about heart disease today, but not just a general look at heart disease. We're talking about heart disease in women. Many of us don't associate this disease with women. We tend to think it's a disease that affects more men. And then when it comes to women, we talk about breast cancer. But in fact, just as many women suffer from heart disease as men do, and it's the same in Malaysia, we have the same risk factors. And the only difference, if at all, is perhaps the fact that women tend to present with heart disease later in life, because during the reproductive years, we produce estrogen. So this is before menopause, we have estrogen that somehow seems to keep heart disease at bay. Notwithstanding, if you don't have the other lifestyle risk factors like obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, all of these things which we know to be associated with heart disease equally among men and women. Mm-hmm. But, speaking of menopause, I think this, correct me if I'm wrong, it could be more than 10 years ago when we started hearing about hormone replacement therapy, and there has been so much conflicting information about whether it is safe for women in terms of being protective for their heart or not. And of course, there are other risks associated with HRT, like cancer, but you know, specifically to heart disease, what exactly do we know now about the link between taking HRT and heart disease?
Well, if only life was as simple as what you mentioned.
Oh, you know, you don't have a straight answer.
Yes, you know, the hormone protects you against heart disease, and if the hormone is not there anymore, then you replace it, and you should be protected.
Yeah, so that's the idea of HRT, which was just to replace the estrogen with synthetic forms of estrogen.
But studies have shown that, you know, there's no conclusive evidence that it's of any help. So what I would like to point out is to actually concentrate on factors that we know, if we modify, we alter, we do something about it, will definitely change the cause of disease, or even better, prevent one from getting heart disease at all. Mm. We mentioned hypertension, take control of your blood pressure, diabetes, make sure that your blood sugar control is, you know, is optimum. Obesity, make sure that your size does matter. Mm. Okay, and lack of exercise. I mean, we don't exercise very much in Malaysia, mm-hmm. in our country, when we should actually. Mm. And the thing is cholesterol. So those are the important risk factors. I forgot to mention one more: smoking.
Yeah, smoking rates among women...
It's getting higher,
It's getting higher,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
So, traditionally, there's always been this gap between smoking in men and women. Yeah. Is that gap getting smaller?
The gap's getting smaller, I'm afraid, yeah. Okay. And more women at the younger age actually starting... It's just peer group pressure, I suppose, and more of a lifestyle thing. Oh, hang on, if I smoke, I'm, you know... tougher or
social pressure.
Socially acceptable. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. But coming back to HRT then, what can women do? You know, HRT was touted as something to help women get over the burden of menopause, which can be very, very significant for some women. Mm-hmm. So how do women make the right decision, taking into balance any potential risks of heart disease?
Sure. Well, for me, hormone replacement therapy, I mean, has an important role, especially when you get symptoms related to menopause. And this should be done after a consultation with the doctor, with the gynecologist. So it has a role, definitely. But the role for HRT in prevention for heart disease in women, to me, is still not there. Mm. And more research needs to be done. Because I'm sure it's not a simple case of replacing what is actually gone. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors involved, and I think we're still trying to find out what's actually the main reason how, when menopause, women actually get more heart disease. It's not as simple as just what a certain hormone or a few hormones. Mm. So research needs to be done. So HRT, yes, it has a role to play for menopause-related symptoms. And yeah, but for heart disease per se, I don't think so. I don't think there's a role here.
I mean, you are saying not to use HRT to prevent heart disease postmenopausal women.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. There is no conclusive evidence.
But what do we know? I mean, what does the evidence tell us now about HRT being linked to heart disease, causing heart disease?
Again, there is no conclusive evidence as well. And at the moment, yes, you can still use the hormone replacement therapy after consultation, of course, with your doctor. And we need to address those risk factors that we mentioned earlier. Those are even more important. Mm. Okay, and yeah, we mentioned earlier. Yeah?
Yes. We talk about it over and over again: diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking. We start to sound a bit like a broken record, but there it is.
That's
something we can't run away from.
Absolutely.
Very early on, you talked about how the symptoms of a heart attack in women are different compared to men. If you could actually go through the common symptoms that women should look out for.
Okay, symptoms that men and women should look out for will be any symptoms of pain or tightness or heaviness or gripping-like sensation in the chest, unexplained, never had it before, and it's usually in the middle of the chest. Most people think that the heart is actually situated on the left side of the chest. It's actually in the middle.
Oh.
Middle pointing slightly to the left.
Right, okay.
Everyone has had a chest x-ray. You can have a look at yours and you'll find that your heart is actually in the middle.
In the middle.
So, middle and slightly to the left. Mm. That's very typical for men and women. And sometimes the pain radiates to the left shoulder, left arm, down to the left hand with some tingling sensations associated with sweating, cold sweats.
Mm-hmm.
You might even get pain going up to the neck and to the jaw.
Right.
I had a patient of mine who presented to the dentist first because he thought he had a pain in the, you know, in the tooth or gum.
Mm.
He went to the dentist and she said, well, your gums look fine, your teeth look fine, you better go to the to the hospital because you're sweating.
Mm.
It turned out to be a heart attack.
Right.
Now, I don't want the old listeners to go to the hospital just because you have a toothache, because this particular doctor from Thompson Hospital said, you know, you have a pain in it must be a heart attack. I'm just saying everyone's different.
Yes.
Now, why I'm telling you that? Because for women and men, although they have pain in the chest as a typical symptom, but sometimes women more than men have pain other than chest.
Other than the chest
like
area.
Mm. I told you the jaw, the neck, the left arm.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why women present later than men to the hospital because the symptoms don't quite fit in a heart attack type symptom.
Why is it different in women?
Only God knows.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Something about...
It's the XX chromosome. I'm not sure why.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Nobody knows why.
Okay. So, we have... I've been reading some studies, international studies. I wanted to get your take on how it relates or whether the observations are the same here in Malaysia. So a study in the Netherlands found that women who have a cardiac arrest outside the hospital are less likely to receive resuscitation from bystanders and are more likely to die than men. And the researchers believe this is largely explained by the lower rate of shockable initial rhythm in women. So I wanted to try and understand what is that shockable initial rhythm?
Right. When a person has a heart attack, he runs the risk of getting cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest happens when there is the heart doesn't function, i.e. the heart stops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before the heart stops, usually it goes into a defibrillation, like a quivering fibrillating mode. It's called a ventricular fibrillation.
Okay.
Or VF in short. So, you know, when we see programs on TV, they use pedals like a car jumper, you know. That's to shock. Okay. That only works if the person has ventricular fibrillation or VF. But you can also have cardiac arrest if there is a flat line, i.e. there is no electrical activity.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you cannot use,
shock.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So you just have to do CPR.
Right.
So in what you just mentioned, it means for women, most of the time, if they go into, cardiac arrest, they don't go into the VF mode, more into the asystole or the straight line.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's actually related to because they usually present quite late. Or in later life, like in the age of 60s, 70s, as opposed to the 30s, 40s in men.
Mm, okay. And there's another study, I think it was from the UK, looking at more than 500,000 cases, which found that women who suffer from heart attacks are generally less likely to survive. And this one actually looked at the treating doctors. So when male doctors treat male patients, the outcomes are better compared to when male doctors treat female patients with a heart attack. And, they also found that women had better survival with male doctors who have many female ER colleagues. So it seems to point to, again, that recognition of women having symptoms of a heart attack and whether their condition is recognized and diagnosed for what it is. I'm just wondering what is the practice or what are you observing here in Malaysia? Are women also being misdiagnosed here?
I don't have that statistics or that statement formulations, but I've read that before as well. And it goes to show that it's not just the public that finds it difficult to identify a heart attack in women, in for medical practitioners as well. For instance, if a man and a woman comes with chest pain, sometimes common things being common, we feel, oh yeah, for the man it could be hard, for the lady might be acid reflux. So we might not be able, sometimes we are a bit prejudgmental as well. You know, we're just humans as well, doctors, you know. So yes, I think that will probably explain why the statement of men treating women will be different. Because even for medical practitioners, we find it difficult to diagnose, to detect heart disease in women.
Yeah, I mean, what could we do to prevent that?
Increase awareness. I mean, what BFM is doing today is one such move, you know, to tell everyone that, look, you know, half of the people who die with heart disease are actually women. In fact, in the States, a developed country, you probably have heard of it, that since 1984, more women than men every single year die of heart disease than men until today.
Right. And this may not necessarily be that it's more common among women, but it's just that more of them die.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Related again to diagnosis and treatment.
Again, we're just trying to emphasize that, you know, it affects both men and women. You know, so yep. Another statistic I can show you, like say in Malaysia, overall statistics for breast cancer, for instance, 1 out of 20 women will get breast cancer in a lifetime. And out of eight is probably, I mean, for those in lower age group, like 40, less than 40 years old. Okay, so this is 1 in 8, 1 in 20, depending on the age. 1 in 3 women will get heart disease.
1 in 3 women in Malaysia will get heart disease.
In a lifetime. Okay, again, I'm not trying to downplay breast cancer, cervical cancer, or any cancers at all. What we're trying to highlight here, like you mentioned, you know, what can be done to change this, you know, is the increased awareness that heart disease affects everyone.
I think this is important enough. Could you repeat that statistic again? How many women in Malaysia get heart disease compared to breast cancer?
Okay, in a lifetime, for a woman, 1 in 3 will get heart disease. You know, it doesn't mean that she dies from heart disease. She will get coronary artery disease, angina, things like that. Okay, whereas 1 in 20 overall, or 1 in 18, depending, because the age gets younger, and it depends on which country as well. I mean, for Malaysia, probably about 1 in, I've heard of 1 in 13 and 1 in 20, but it's less than heart disease, is what I'm trying to say. The only reason why I think the publicity gets more, because women get breast cancer at a younger age. We mentioned that earlier.
And just quoting some figures from the National Health and Morbidity Survey from 2015, it found that women had a higher prevalence of high cholesterol levels, hypercholesterolemia. Why, again, is this higher in women?
I'm not too sure how to answer that. Again, it's lifestyle, the disease, because to me, high cholesterol is, you know, it's a lifestyle disease. It affects both men and women. I'm not sure what is statistically significant in that finding, whether it's, you know, women get it more than men, but it's an increasing trend. You know, you get higher rates of diabetes, higher rates of high cholesterol, higher rates of hypertension. Hypertension, like 10 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, probably 1 out of 5 probably got hypertension. Now it's almost half.
You know, for 1 in 2.
Yeah, almost 1 in 2 will get abnormal blood pressure formulations.
And from the same NHMS, the prevalence of undiagnosed hypercholesterolemia or high blood cholesterol was also higher among women than men. Things seem to keep coming back to undiagnosed or undetected or underdiagnosis of these risk factors among women.
Yes, again, you know, like hypercholesterolemia or high cholesterol is actually related to heart disease. So when ladies go for screening, the mind is more towards like, I need a mammography or breast ultrasound. I need a cervical, I need a pap smear. I need to, just as important, they should look at all these risk factors, the sugar, the blood cholesterol, the blood pressure needs to be checked as well. I'm sure that's done in any package, you know. But yeah, I think the mindset now we'll have to change that. You know, we have to, you know, heart disease is a preventable disease by and large, and it affects both the men and women.
Okay. And in terms of screening, when should women start going for screening for heart disease then?
Well, we mentioned that menopause is around the range of 50 or 45 and 40. I would suggest if you look for specifically heart disease for women 40 years and above, and for men about 30 and above, unless you have certain risk factors like diabetes, hypertension, and of course if you smoke, then you need to go even as early as 30 years old.
And so the screening would be to test for your cholesterol levels, your sugar.
All the risk factors for getting. And even a simple test like a stress test, a treadmill test, to detect whether you have a coronary artery disease or,
Okay. But in terms of the diagnostic test, or I suppose a stress test is still a screening?
Yes, it is a screening test, yes.
Are there complications? Maybe complications is not the right word. Are there differences in the ability of these tests to pick up heart disease in women compared to men? Could there be some tests that women are less sensitive to?
The stress test is a very good test, but it's not very, very sensitive and not very specific. That means we get a lot of cases where we think it's abnormal, but it turns out to be normal. That usually happens in women. This is from experience, from my own personal experience. I find that we find that the ladies, when they do treadmill, it's abnormal. That, you know, that there's a chance that they might get heart disease. And we do tests like CT scan or coronary angiogram. We find that the coronary arteries are pristine clean.
Right.
Yeah.
So we find get that a lot more of false negatives.
False negative. And vice versa as well.
Vice versa.
That means we find that, it's actually normal. And you find that, actually, there is a problem.
Right. Okay.
In the future, yeah. We find that more, personally, I find that more in women compared to men. Men are a bit more predictable. Women are a special kind, is it?
Oh, no. but then how do we then ensure that the screening will be accurate for women?
Right. It's difficult. It's a good question. It's a difficult one to answer because you have to look at all the risk factor profiles. You have to look at the symptoms. It's not just a simple case. One test that will answer everything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work like that. So yeah, this is where the doctor has doctor has to do a lot of work, and pay particular attention to each case.
Okay. And what about when it comes to treating heart disease, are there any unique considerations when you treat heart disease in women in terms of the types of medications or whether to consider stenting, bypass and things like that?
By and large, the treatment would be the same. First of all, of course, the advice would be the total lifestyle change. That would be the same before we embark on the medicinal. Again, it's very similar for men and women. Whether a person goes for coronary angiogram and stenting, bypass, by and large, the same as well. We have to. The only perhaps slight difference is that women get it at their older age. You have to be more delicate and all that because they come in at the age of 60, 65. I've supposed to men operate younger and recover faster after surgery. But treatment by and large would be the same.
Okay, all right. So, do you have a final message then when it comes to preventing heart disease in women? What can we do to reduce the risk and to make sure that we are recognizing heart disease for what it is?
First of all, the first step is to be aware that, you know, heart disease kills and heart disease is prevalent. And secondly, heart disease affects women just as it affects men. First of all, it's our own awareness. The second is to spread the word around, to tell people that, look, you know, you should look after your heart, just not just because, you know, because it affects everybody. Okay, it affects everybody. And the best way is to do things that we can change, which is to make sure that we exercise, make sure that if we smoke, we stop smoking, or we tell somebody else not to smoke. And thirdly, if our weight is a bit over, then we must make sure that we actually get our weight down, exercise more, and eat the right food.
And if you, well, it's important to know the symptoms of a heart attack in women as well. So they may not be the classic symptoms that that we always hear about, the pain in the chest. It could be things like pain in the neck, the jaw, the arm, cold sweats, as you said. Some shortness of breath as well.
Yes, you can get it as well.
It's not to send people to the hospital for every small thing, but just to be aware, I think, is the main point here.
Absolutely. If you have any of the symptoms we mentioned, see a doctor. Which doctor? Any doctor will be fine. The nearest doctor, the doctor you're most comfortable with. That doctor will then advise what needs to be done to you, for you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Haizal.
Thank you. Thank you for
this. I've been speaking to Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar, consultant cardiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara. We've been talking about how to look after a woman's heart, not just in the emotional sense, but in the physical sense, because heart disease affects just as many women as it affects men. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.